In the name of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, my dear friends, the time, the place, and the circumstance of your death. Is that something you'd like to know? Would you like to have the exact facts concerning the time, the circumstance, and the place of your death? I'm guessing that most of us would say no. And the reason we'd say no is because, well, it goes beyond, well, that's a little morbid. I know the reason I don't want to know that information is because I wonder what I would do with it. Would I, if I knew the time, the place, and the circumstance of my death, would I just become complacent in my faith? You know, just skip church altogether, skip reading my Bible, stop my prayer life, until a week before I knew I was going to meet my Maker. That wouldn't be good. Or would that insider information that I had, would it be something that just sunk me into a deep and dark despair, one that just never lifted? No thanks. I don't want to know. I don't want to know the exact time, place, and circumstance of my death. But Jesus did. One of the amazing things about our Lord's passion history is he knew. The omniscient Son of God knew. Before anything happened, he knew what was going to happen. He knew every plot of his enemies before it was hatched. He knew every hateful word that would be shouted against him. He knew every betrayal. He knew every lash of the whip. He knew every tortured breath he would have to take, every step of the way to the cross, he knew. He knew that that instrument of death was there waiting for him, and yet he continued on. And it wasn't against his will either. It wasn't accidental. Every step Jesus took to the cross was purposeful. Why did he walk toward it? One of my favorite answers to that question is this verse from Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. So why these purposeful steps to the cross when everyone else would have run the other way? He had so much joy in that perfect heart of his at the thought of saving you and me from our sins. So let's begin a walk with Jesus tonight. In fact, that's going to be the theme that we'll be considering on these Wednesday nights in Lent. His final steps. Tonight, as we begin Lent on a day that is characterized by the word ash, which, among other things, reminds us of our mortality, because ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and from dust we came and to dust we shall return. I think it's fitting that Jesus' final steps tonight in this word of God that we're going to consider led to a tomb. And Jesus wanted to walk to that tomb to show that he had power over that dead man's tomb, and he has power over our tomb as well. Now, John 11 is where we find this particular account. And we learn that Jesus didn't just hurry to the tomb of his friend Lazarus. In fact, when Jesus first hears of the possibility of taking this trip to Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived, Lazarus was sick, deathly sick. And yet, Jesus didn't hurry. In fact, he delayed his trip to Bethany by 2 days, the Bible says, much to the puzzlement of his disciples. 2 days he lingered, but you see, even the steps he didn't take were purposeful. Because Christ wanted the perfect timing for this exchange between him and Lazarus's sister, Martha. Here it is, John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Don't you think that that journey to Bethany was one that was filled with emotion? Certainly, Jesus was walking to a place where emotions were running high and spirits were lagging low. A dear member of a dear family and a dear community had died, and it was way too soon. And then for Jesus to hear Lazarus's sister, Martha, say, Lord, if you had been here, things would have been different, but you weren't. That must have just been heartbreaking to him. And to walk to the Bethany graveyard with all of those mourners, it must have been incredibly somber, but Jesus knew. He knew exactly where he needed to be and exactly when he needed to be there. Because you see, it's in these places of despair and hopelessness and gloom and sorrow. That's where Jesus wants to be. And that's where he shines brightest, because it's in those places where people need the hope that only he can bring. The hope that of the resurrection and the life, the hope that is built on the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. And don't you know that when he walked to that graveyard and he said, roll away the stone, followed by Lazarus, come out, he gave back to Mary and Martha their brother. And he gave back to Lazarus his life. Think about it. On this death march to that hill outside of Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus stops to show everybody that he's got the power over death. And he asked, do you believe this? And Martha answered, Lord, I believe it. What's your answer? Do we believe Jesus when he says he is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe him when he says that the one who believes in him will live even though they die? Do we believe him when he says, as he said another time in John's gospel, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged and has crossed over from death to life? Do we believe him? I think we do. I think we believe that the same Jesus who walked to his friend's tomb and raised him from the dead will one day, on that great and glorious day, walk to our tomb and do the same thing. And if you believe that, my friend, surely you believe this. If he's got that kind of power that works right through death and on the other side of death, then he's got power for every day of your life. Every day when he says to you, I am with you, believe him. And every day when he says to you, nothing can separate you from my love, believe him. And that means nothing that someone can say to you or about you can separate you from his love for you, because it's not about what other people say about you. It's about what he says about you that matters. And on a day like this, Ash Wednesday, when quite frankly, I'm thinking about my own mortality a little bit more than usual, maybe you are too. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Well, on a day like this, when I'm thinking about how my sins would separate me from God, that they would build a brick wall between me and my God, don't we have to believe him when he says to us, here is my body, here is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins? I'm going to knock that wall down. You are reconciled to God. So you see, his final steps did lead to a tomb. I don't know, and I don't want to know when and where and how I'll be in mine. But this much I know. Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again to have power over our death. And that means he's got power for every day of our life. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.